Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It wasn't even in 3D.
And where were the ice skaters?
Again, TV, you have misled us.
It's true. You couldn't see the 3D in the Simpsons anniversary episode last night without special equipment. And who really owns a 3D TV yet? But judging from the annual Consumer Electronics Show, which just ended in Las Vegas, it is coming. 3D TV accounted for a lot of the buzz at the show, along with the Google smartphone and Apple tablet, even though Apple wouldn't deign to show it there. Dan Ackerman, senior editor of the technology site CNET, is here now with their Best in Show Awards and maybe some of the worst. Hi, Dan. Welcome to WNYC.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you. So how much was 3D television the buzz of the Consumer Electronics Show?
It was definitely kind of the big overarching theme of the show because almost everybody who was in kind of the TV or consumer electronics space had a product or two to show off or to announce with some 3D on it, but it's not really the kind of thing that we're going to find in our living rooms really anytime soon.
Does this have something to do with Avatar becoming the number two grossing movie of all time, or is it purely a coincidence?
In some ways, it's a coincidence, but Avatar was really hugely helpful in making people believe that 3D was actually something that could really work rather than just like, you know, a blind marketing ploy.
So are there some 3Ds that you were able to check out? Funny enough, our audiology guest, who was just on the way out hearing me promote this segment, he said, I was at the CES last week for his own professional reasons, and he said, I looked at some 3D televisions, and they really blew me away.
You know, they really do. If you're in the right setting with the right equipment and you have the glasses on and they have the right content on, 3D is actually really impressive. And they've had versions of that you can even get on your home computer for about a year or so now. And now that they've got that kind of in big TVs that you put on your living room, you can definitely get a very good, very kind of cinematic experience. But it requires this whole new ecosystem of stuff. Like, people are going to need to make 3D content, which means shooting new stuff with these 3D cameras that have kind of two lenses on them. You're going to need a big TV that actually accepts the Blu-ray, the 3D signal, and you're going to need a pair of glasses, and that's kind of a big hump for a lot of people to get over.
Did you see The Simpsons in 3D last night?
I did not see The Simpsons in 3D, but I certainly, over the past week in Las Vegas at CES, sat through a lot of 3D demos, a lot of stuff that's actually very similar. I think a lot of things like those kind of Pixar animated movies tend to work very well in 3D.
I guess those would work well in 3D, not so much Jay Leno flopping at 10 o'clock.
You know what? I could see that actually working, because 3D, I think, works best when it's not super obvious, when it's not somebody throwing things at the camera in your face,
when
it just sort of adds some depth to whatever you're watching.
Because I'm sure a lot of people are listening and thinking, oh, why would I care? Why do I care? Who cares about three dimensions on television?
You know, if you're watching sports, I can see it being really exciting. If you're watching a lot of sort of HD Discovery Channel nature shows, I feel that could be really exciting. And in fact, the two guys who are getting in first with 3D dedicated channels sometime this year are ESPN and Discovery.
That's right. ESPN coming up with some games soon, and I didn't know about Discovery Channel, but that makes total sense. So I guess next will come 3D laptops and 3D smartphones, since that's where more and more people are getting their TV content.
We've actually already had 3D laptops. Those were kind of the leading edge, because you can do a lot more with computer hardware than you can with just what's in a TV.
Listeners, any calls about 3D TV or anything else from the CES last week, the Consumer Electronics Show? Maybe you've been hearing some other stuff about that and want to ask about some of the things that our guest Dan Ackerman from CNET saw. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Just in case people don't realize where this is going, just as one personal example, my teenage son told me last night that he now watches 75% of his television on his laptop on Hulu, including House and The Office, Family Guy. Now the back episodes of Lost were just made available. And he likes the fact that there are limited commercials, and you can just peek at another window during the commercials anyway. So I guess 3D laptops must be coming if people want 3D television.
And more important than that, you can watch those shows on your own schedule. You don't have to wait till, you know, 9 o'clock on Tuesday on whatever channel it's on.
Right.
Or remember to set your DVR in order to record it.
And you selected a Panasonic 3D TV as CNET's Best in Show among the TV products at the Consumer Electronics Show. Why that one?
Well, that was the overall Best in Show pick. We had a whole bunch of different categories, computers, cameras, televisions. But because CES is such a consumer electronic-related show and TVs are such a big part of it, and this particular model was the latest version of just a really, really, really excellent overall TV that now adds 3D to it, we felt it was the overall most impressive product of the show, although there was a lot of other really cool stuff. As you mentioned, a lot of stuff with like kind of slate and tablet-style devices, too, that were that was very impressive.
Right. So let's go down some of your other categories. One of your Best in Show winners was the My Ford Touch interface from Ford, Ford Motor Company. What does this do that cars couldn't do before?
Well, it's almost like taking that kind of Apple concept of having an app store and having little things you can do kind of with your hands and adding it to a car. They're really the first guys to get on board and say, hey, we're going to take this kind of concept that people have on their phones now, that they have on a lot of other devices, and kind of put it right in the dashboard. And it's very interesting to see where it goes. Now, we were all debating what the best of show was. At CES, half of CNET is in San Francisco, half is in New York. All the New York people, including myself, almost didn't really get it because we don't drive. All the San Francisco people, however, were very bullish on it.
In the computer category, you like the Lenovo IdeaPad U1 hybrid. Hybrid between what and what?
Well, that was really interesting. That was one of the things that everyone at the show thought was really impressive. It looks like a regular laptop, and then you take the screen of the laptop and you pop it off, and it sits in your hand and becomes a standalone tablet computer. Almost kind of like what we think the Apple tablet will look like. And it's got its own processor, it's got its own memory, it's got its own operating system, and you can surf the web on it, you can use it as a touchscreen, you can read ebooks on it, and then when you're done, you just plug it right back into the top of the laptop, and you have a one-piece laptop again.
Here's a 3D convert, Mike in Pound Ridge. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, for me, it was Avatar. I was just blown away by that movie, how it didn't feel gimmicky after the first minute, and, you know, your eyes didn't hurt, your head didn't hurt. And I came home thinking, this is something I have to look at. And I read all the CES coverage on all the gadget blogs much more closely afterwards.
Mike, thank you. And Simon in Fairfield liked it, but with a reservation, Simon?
Yeah, I think it's very cool technology. The only problem that I've experienced is that after a while, wearing the glasses and viewing the 3D imagery, your eyes get extremely tired after a while.
Have you found that, Dan?
That's definitely the case, especially with older 3D technologies. The newer stuff is a little bit better, but I don't think anyone spent enough time watching enough hours of it. And, of course, some of the glasses are more comfortable than others. I think the real problem for 3D in the living room, though, is more sociological. When you're sitting there with your family or your friends, it's kind of a group-sharing experience. And when everyone's wearing these glasses that kind of block out your peripheral vision, you're sort of isolated while you're doing it. And then it's much harder to have that sort of social utility of watching a program together and kind of interacting with each other and what's going on the screen.
Yeah, and imagine when they get it on your smartphone and you're putting the glasses on and off. Dan Ackerman from CNET was at the Consumer Electronics Show last week. Dan, did Google show their smartphone there?
Well, the Google Nexus One smartphone was definitely a hot topic at CES, although we technically didn't think of it as a CES product because Google announced it on its own a couple of days before the show, but it definitely hung over the entire thing.
Did people like it compared to the iPhone or the Droid?
People definitely liked it. It wasn't that revolutionary. It was very similar to the Droid in that it's basically an HTC-made phone that runs Google's operating system. It's definitely a good alternative if you're not on AT&T and you can't get an iPhone, although there's already a bit of a Google phone backlash. People have spent the last several days since the phone was launched complaining about customer service and some 3G connection problems.
How about the ghost of the Apple tablet? Was that permeating the air, even though Apple did not deign to show it in the company of other companies?
I know, really. They're always like that. That was definitely true. And what we saw was, besides that Lenovo hybrid tablet that we just talked about, almost every other big computer company had to whip out a tablet and say, hey, we're working on one too, even though they didn't really have the products ready to kind of show off in person or in public. They only had them behind closed doors as secret demos. HP had one that they showed off very briefly on stage. Dell had one they just kind of hinted at. So I think everyone feels like they need to get their foot in the tablet door before Apple announces their product, even if their stuff will be out much later.
Why won't Google or Apple release their products at the CES?
Well, Apple always went to a competing show that happens usually right after CES called Macworld, run by the people who do the Macworld magazine. They've actually stopped doing that now, and they're just having their own event later in January. That's just the Apple way. That's how they roll. And Google is very new in the – this is really their first hardware device.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't had a piece of hardware to show off at a trade show before, but I think they're following that Apple model of saying, hey, listen, we're doing our thing. You have to come to us. We're not going to hang out with all these other guys in the convention center in Las Vegas.
About the tablet, which is still a new word to a lot of people, are these book readers, basically, like the Kindle, or is it something else?
What we think of as a tablet or a Slate PC kind of looks a little bit like a Kindle or an e-book reader and has some of the same functions, but in most cases it would be a more fully featured computer. It would have a color screen. It would have a full touch screen in most cases and probably run Windows 7 or the Mac operating system and be able to go online and do all those things you would with your laptop just in kind of a touch screen Slate version. Now, e-book readers are adding some of the functions slowly, and I can definitely see over the next couple of years the line between them getting much fuzzier.
And the screens on the tablets are usually like 10 inches?
I would say 10 inches is probably going to be a good size. Dell was showing off a 5-inch prototype, which seemed a little
small.
Bit too much like a smartphone for me.
Uh-huh. So why not just buy, a 10-inch computer? I mean, they don't have keyboards, right? So why not just buy, like, a 10-inch computer,
a
laptop, or even a 5-inch, 8-inch netbook, and have it do the same thing?
Well, what the computer companies would like you to do is buy a 10-inch netbook, buy a full-size laptop, and then also buy a tablet just in case you want to carry that around. Whatever, they can get you to buy an extra product, they definitely will.
Well, what can the tablet do that the netbook can't?
I think it's more flash at this point. It's more following that Kindle style of holding it in your hand, of walking around with it. That's why everyone liked that Lenovo hybrid idea, because it's a tablet and a regular laptop
uh-huh.
in one product.
Right. Matthew in Tribeca has another 3D question. Hi, Matthew.
Hi. How's it going? Thanks
Good.
For taking the call.
You bet.
I think with a lot of other millions of people, have experienced while watching Avatar with the 3D technology is all about the polarization of light. So if you tilt your head one way or the other, it kind of the image will go out of focus. And I'm wondering if that's something that is going to be addressed or something that everybody will just be sitting directly in front of their TV in upright positions watching it, or if that's something that will evolve with the rest of the technology.
I mean, the latest stuff, the stuff they showed off at CES, the kind of newer versions of it, that's definitely been a problem with 3D technology in the past and continues to be a problem to some extent. But they had a really great stress test in that they put these sets out in the middle of a crowded convention show floor, lights blaring everywhere, people coming in from every angle, lots of noise, lots of distractions, and most of the demos still managed to look pretty good. So I feel that's a pretty good vote of confidence for the underlying technology behind it. That being said, just like most LCD TVs don't have great off-axis viewing, which means they don't look as good when you're kind of sitting way off on the side, obviously 3D is going to have similar problems.
Interesting. All right. Dan Ackerman, senior editor of the technology site CNET, just back from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's show. Quick reminder that you can join the Takeaway Celeste Headley and me this Sunday at the Brooklyn Museum for our annual Martin Luther King Day event, Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Brooklyn Museum. It's going to be a multi-generational discussion about Dr. King's life and legacy with panelists including environmental activist Majora Carter, former Congressman Major Owens, and Princeton religion professor Eddie Glaude. The event is free, but reservations are necessary. Details about our Martin Luther King Sunday event at the Brooklyn Museum on the events page at WNYC.org. Lisa Allison, Jody Evergan, Paige Cowart, and Alan Smith produced today's program. We had intern help from Matthew Gurry and Sophia Tu. Our senior producer is Megan Ryan, and that's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.